Blog Talk Radio.
I won't let nothing.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, but she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let nothing
turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust
him.
No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image that day"?
Nothing.
I won't let nothing
turn me around.
No weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no, no, no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined, I've got a made up mind, I'm gonna get my throne. She told her, she said, "I won't let nothing, no,
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Patrick Metlock. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Medlock, you are on the air.
Thank you, Danielle, and I bring you greetings from the Gateway Church of Christ here in Southgate, Michigan, where we are saints in covenant with God, and we are neighbors in love with you. Thank you, Danielle, for what you do every single day. Thank you, Brother Bradshaw, for sharing this ministry with me and with others. And want to thank each and every one of you that's on the call that is called the number 319-527-6203. If there's anybody who has gone to www.blogtalkradio.com/grace-nurture, which is all one word, and you're listening to it live there, maybe you can also listen to the archival recorded version of it there as well. And then there are people who are attached to my side of this ministry specifically, where I have for the last several years, I've been simulcasting this Blog Talk Radio devotional on my Facebook Live page. And so we're thankful for each and every one of you. And we do not take any of you for granted. Thank you very, very much for being a part of this broadcast. I don't know, any of you guys had your TV on? You've been listening to all the Trump indictment talk that's been culminating, that's going to culminate today. I mean, it's almost like nothing else is happening. Although you have people that have died in additional shootings, and you've had, the devastation with the tornadoes, but for whatever reason, that has absorbed all of the attention, and it will do so again for most of the day today. Now, I have no comment on the specific matter that is at hand. However, I do want to use it as a backdrop for my Devo today to say some things. And number one, I want to say that spiritually speaking, we're all guilty. We're guilty of sin. I want to say that spiritually speaking, Jesus got the charges. And I want to say that spiritually speaking, the intellectually honest ones know that we want mercy and not justice when we know that we are guilty as sin. So I say that to you to lead into today's Gratitude Tuesday subject, which is not Amazing Grace, because there'll be some elements of grace most certainly in it, but even though we sing the song Amazing Grace, we need to understand that there is also such thing as amazing mercy. And maybe this illustration will help us to see how mesmerizing and how amazing the mercy that the Messiah has meted to us. Because I'll just say to you, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, if we had to go to a spiritual court of law, we would all be indicted. And we would all be guilty as sin. Listen to this illustration. It's a little lengthy, but I think I'll have time to do it in the time that's allotted. There once was a man who wanted something very much. It seemed more important than anything else in his life, and in order to have his desire, he incurred a great debt. He had been warned about going into that much debt, and particularly about his creditor. But it seemed important to him to do what he wanted to do and to have what he wanted to have right now, so he was sure he could pay it later. So, ladies and gentlemen, as many of us have done in the past, he signed a contract, pay it off sometime along the way, he thought, and he didn't worry too much about it, for the due date seemed to be a long way off. So he had what he wanted now, and that is what seemed to be important. The creditor was always somewhere in the back of his mind, and he made token payments now and again, thinking somehow that the day of reckoning would really never come. But as it always does, the day came and the contract fell due, and the debt had been not been fully paid, and the creditor appeared and demanded payment in full. Only then did he realize that his creditor not only had the power to repossess all that he owned, but the power to cast him in prison as well. "I cannot pay you, for I have not the power to do so," he confessed. "Then," said the creditor, "we will exercise the contract. Take your possessions, and you will go to prison. You agreed to that. It was your choice. You signed the contract, and now it must be enforced. Can you not extend the debt or time of the debt?" The debtor begged. "Arrange some way for me to keep what I have and not go to prison. Surely you believe in mercy. Will you not show mercy?" The creditor replied, "Mercy is always so one-sided. It would serve only you. If I show you mercy, it would leave me unpaid. It is justice that I demand. Do you believe in justice?" "I believed in justice when I signed the contract," the debtor said. "It was on my side then, and I thought it would protect me. I did not need mercy then, nor did I think I should ever need it. Justice, I thought, would serve both of us equally as well. It is justice demands that you pay the contract or suffer the penalty," the creditor replied. "That is the law. You have agreed to it, and that is the way it must be. Mercy cannot rob justice." There they were, one meting out justice, the other pleading for mercy. Neither could prevail except at the expense of the other. "If you do not forgive the debt, there will be no mercy," the debtor pleaded. "If I do, there will be no justice," was the reply. Both laws, it seemed, could not be served. They are two equal ideals that appear to contradict one another. Is there no way for justice to be fully served and mercy as well? There is a way. The law of justice can be fully satisfied and mercy can be fully extended, but it takes someone else. And so it happened this time. The debtor had a friend. Aren't you guys glad y'all know the end of this story? He came to help. He knew the debtor well. He knew him to be short-sighted. He thought him selfish to have gotten himself into such a predicament. Nevertheless, he wanted to help because he loved to help. He stepped between them, faced the creditor, and made the offer. "I will pay the debt if you will free the debtor from his contract so that he may keep his possessions and not go to prison." As the creditor was pondering the offer, the mediator added, "You demanded justice. Though he cannot pay you, I will do so. You will have to be justly, you will have been dealt justly with and can ask no more. It would not be just." So the creditor agreed. And so it was that the creditor was paid in full. He had been justly dealt with. No contract had been broken. The debtor, in turn, had been extended mercy. Both laws stood fulfilled because there was a mediator. Justice had claimed its full share, and mercy was fully satisfied. The Apostle John reminds us in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 3 of New American Standard, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." We get the amazing grace, but we also get the amazing mercy that can give us the peace that we can live with right now. I know we love our Amazing Grace lyrics. But if you look at verse 2 of the chorus of At Calvary, that refrain creatively tells us, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. We were spiritually indicted, but Jesus swooped in, and he arranged a plea deal with the Father to grant us amazing mercy. I don't know what's going to happen today. And, of course, this won't be the only thing that we'll see in the news that might reach that type of magnitude. But I know that all of this dwarfs to the fact that God was willing to accept Jesus as our pardon and that we were able to receive amazing mercy. Father, please help us to be grateful for indeed the mercy that you have bestowed through your offering your son. We're so thankful that you are who you are and that you've allowed us to even be in any consideration to receive anything because we are deserving of nothing. We thank you for the gift that we have today. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us in the past, the blessings that you're giving us both seen and unseen now, as well as the blessings that we will receive, if it be your will, in the future. And just help us to understand that regardless of the who and the what, that indeed we are guilty of sin, and we are hope undeserved recipients of your amazing mercy. Please be with Erica, Evan's family today. They lost their dad, Paul Evans, as well, up here in Michigan. So we want to definitely make sure that we pray for that family. I want to pray for Don Schatz, who is recently just had surgery, and I want to pray for Keisha Robinson, who just had her baby and just of last month, and my elder's daughter who just had her child, and Kelsey and Ethan, who just had their baby. And Father, just be with all of these individuals that are going through various things, whether it's cancer, whether it's tumors removed, whether it's dealing with bereavement. We just want to continue to put our faith and our trust in you, but understand that indeed, along with that amazing mercy, we also want to bask and wallow in your amazing grace. And allow it so that this day will be a day that regardless of whether or not we deem it ultimately a good day or a bad day, we want to make sure that we accomplish the one singular goal that we should want every day. And this is whether we're already in the corner of our cubicles or corner offices, whether we're in the seat of our cars, or whether we're still in our slippers. We want to make sure that we give you glory and honor this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.